Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, and Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years. Now, he was 110 years old. I'm not that old. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Unless you go among these nations, these that remain among you, and you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from among you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that as Joshua gave his final exhortation to the people of Israel to stay true to the Lord, may it be that everyone in this audience stays true to you, that this church stays true to you all the way until Jesus comes. Lord, speak to our hearts through this message, I pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 23 of Joshua is near the end of Joshua's life. He was born into slavery in the land of Egypt, but he had the privilege of seeing God's mighty hand deliver the people of Israel through 10 plagues. And then as they had their backs against the wall of the Red Sea, once again God delivered in a mighty way, parting the Red Sea, and they passed as on dry land. Some years later, after Moses completed his ministry, Joshua was chosen to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. He saw the walls of Jericho fall and God grant the victory. He saw victory after victory after victory as God empowered them as they possessed the land. And now he is near the end of his life. And so he gathers together Israel, especially all of their leaders, to give them a closing exhortation to stay true to the Lord. And at this moment, Joshua could repeat the words of the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. That is the way Joshua ended his life. Now, the greatest concern of Joshua was not for himself. He knew where he was going to be at rest and peace, but he was concerned about his nation. Would they remain true to the Lord? Would they continue to hold fast to the Lord, or would they depart from the Lord and even worship other gods? After all, his generation was dying off. A new generation had arisen. Some of those young folks weren't even there when the walls of Jericho fell. Would they remain faithful to the Lord? Well, in this text of Scripture, Joshua presents before them two basic scenarios. You can either obey the Lord and stay true to His Word, and God will give you the rest of the land, or if you turn from the Lord and disobey His Word, then you will suffer the consequences. Ultimately, you will lose this good land that God has given you. And you know, as I look back on my own life and on my ministry, some of us remember the great revival of the 1970s. Scores and scores of people were called into the ministry. God moved in some amazing ways. We witnessed perhaps the last widespread revival that this nation has experience. And as we get closer to the end times, my concern is, will God's people, many of whom have never experienced what my generation experienced, will they stay true to the Lord? Will you stay true to the Lord? Will this church stay true to the Lord in the years ahead? How many students are active in a youth group, and then they go off to college and they turn aside and are no longer following the Lord? It happens all too often. And so this morning, I want to share a message about five ways that will help you to stay true to the Lord in the coming years. And the first is this: always remember the goodness of God. Never forget how good God has been to you in saving your soul and giving you so many other blessings. Look at verse 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He who has fought for you. Remember how the Lord has given you victory, how God has given you this land. Verse 9, for the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. Oh, listen, Joshua was a great general leading in battle, but the victory was not Joshua's. The victory was the Lord's. He was the one that gave them the victory. And he also reminds them on three occasions about the good land that God had given them. God had been so good to give them such a beautiful land, a land of mountains and fertile valleys, a land of milk and honey, as it was described, cities that they did not build and yet they inherited as a gift from the Lord. And you know, we need to reflect upon how good God has been to you. If you are saved today, oh, listen, you've been forgiven of all of your sins. You have eternal life. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the capacity to live a blessed life. God has been good to you. God has given you a good church. God has given you a good land, this land we call the United States of America. God has been so good to us. And why is it that we should always remember and reflect upon the goodness of God? Well, it ought to cause you to be thankful to Him, and it also should motivate you to always stay true to God and never depart from Him. Yes, the goodness of God and reflecting upon His goodness has a role upon us spiritually. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, Do you despise the riches of His goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Even when you first were saved, just knowing how good God has been should have led you to repentance. And so when was the last time that you reflected on the goodness of God to you and gave thanks to Him and said, Lord, you've been so good. I want to live for you. That will help you. But secondly, this morning, keep claiming the promises of God. There were still parts of the land that they still had not possessed. The land of the Philistines to the west. Other pockets of resistance remained. And so Joshua called upon his people to remember God's promise, not just to give you part of the land, but all of the land. Don't just live on past victories, but claim the promises of God. Oh, the Philistines were mighty warriors. Can we take their land? These other folks, the obstacles may be great, but Joshua says, listen, God made a promise to you, and He will keep His promise. Notice what He says in verse 10 as He assures them and reminds them of the promise of God. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is He who fights for you as He promised. He was quoting from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 30. Listen, you don't have to wait around till you have a large enough army. One of you can chase 1,000 as long as God is fighting for you. As Romans 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so the victory is ours for the claiming. God has made us promises. We just need to claim the promises of God. And I tell you, you can trust God to keep His promises. God is faithful. God is true. God will never allow one promise or one truth of His Word to fail. He is truthful. Trust God's promises. And in verse 14, we see why we can trust in the promises of God. Joshua says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord has spoken concerning you. All has come to pass. Not one of them has failed. God has kept His promises in the past. You can count on Him to keep His promises in the future. And of course, you know, we need to claim this promise. Jesus in the Great Commission says, make disciples of all nations. Folks, there are a few nations perhaps, and certainly a large number of people groups that have not yet been claimed for Christ. And so we need to claim the promise of Jesus. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Missionaries can go forth to these nations and these people groups in spite of the apparent danger and claim the promise that Christ will be with us and we can succeed in sharing the gospel and winning souls to Christ, including in our own community. Keep claiming the promises of God. Secondly, have the courage to live by God's Word. God's Word is our guide. It reveals His will. It gives us our marching orders. We need to live by the Word of God. Verse 6 says, therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. When he says be courageous there, literally, he says be strong. Now, why do we need strength to obey God's Word? Well, I tell you why. Because the world derides the truths of God's Word. The world resists us. The devil opposes us. Our own sin nature will resist us in obedience to the Word of God. And so we need the strength that God and God alone can provide. What he says here echoes what he said years before in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The Word of God is the standard that we live by. It is the standard of truth. We must live always by the Word of God. And what a great example Joshua was. Joshua lived by the Word of God. He led his nation to live by the Word of God. And for the most part, they did, according to the last of verse 8. He even memorized the Word of God. Again, he quoted from Deuteronomy 32. When he said, "One shall chase a 10,000, he meditated upon the Word of God. And so I call upon you, if you're going to stay true to God, you need to stay in the Word. Spend time every day reading the Word, meditating upon the Word of God, even memorizing the Word of God. And you know, our pastor search committee is looking for a pastor, and they'll be recommending a pastor, and I'm sure they'll recommend a pastor that preaches the Word of God. And it is your responsibility to come and hear him and to learn from him and to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. That's how you're going to stay true to God. But then we must keep loving the Lord. He says in verse 11, "Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." This command to love the Lord was given in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 and repeated two other times. Jesus said, "The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And so this is so important that if you're going to stay true to God, keep your love for God strong, vibrant. It is so important. In fact, he says, "Take careful heed that you love the Lord your God." Watch and guard your heart. Don't let any other love replace your love for God. That is how you will stay true to the Lord. And one expression of true love is found in verse 8. Notice he says, "But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day." The Hebrew word translated "hold fast" is found in Genesis chapter 2. "For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife." Hold fast to his wife. And so it talks about that loving relationship of marriage where you hold fast to one another. That's what God wants us in our spiritual walk with Him. We are the bride of Christ. We are to love Him and hold fast unto Him. The summer before my senior year in high school, I went to youth camp for the first time. Probably at least 100 young people from that church went to camp. We had the whole camp to ourselves. God did a great work of revival among all those youth. God did a great work in my life. And I began to sense that God was calling me to preach, and I made a commitment to the Lord that I would love Him and follow Him the rest of my life. That was 47 years ago. And I want you to know that God has enabled me never to depart, even for a week, from the Lord in those 47 years. That's the example that I have set for you, and that's the example I want you to remember, and I want you to heed the words of Joshua to hold fast to the Lord. Keep loving the Lord. No matter what others do, keep loving the Lord. And notice that Joshua says future victories depends on this. In verse 10, he says, if you remain loyal, the Lord would fight for you. But if you turn from the Lord will turn you over to your enemies and you'll be driven from the land. You'll be driven from the land if you do not stay true to me and keep loving me like you ought to. And you know, that principle is not just an Old Testament principle. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, notice what happened to the church of Ephesus. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. You're not as devoted as you used to. This church was now some 50 years old at this point. But notice what God warned through Christ in the next verse. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. What's the lampstand? Revelation 1:20 indicates it represents the church itself. The church is the light of the world. And Jesus says, if you don't turn back to me in full and devoted love, then I'm going to remove your church. I'm going to remove your church. And many a church has died. Many a church has lost the Spirit of God. The glory departed from that church. And all they are is a building with a few people. That ought not to be. So keep loving the Lord. Are you holding fast to the Lord? Will you keep loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That will help you stay true to the Lord. And then finally, practice biblical separation. Joshua warns of a danger. That to the extent that those nations remain in the land, and you start doing business with them and start getting to know them and have friendly relations with them, if you're not careful, instead of you influencing them to become worshipers of the God of Israel, they will start influencing you to worship their God. And you'll see the ways of the nations and want to be like the other nations and to follow their beliefs and follow their practices. And folks, this is a real concern that is with us to this very day. And I find it interesting that in verse 12 he talks about if they're not careful, they'll start clinging to their those nations and their gods. And it's the same Hebrew word found in verse 8, hold fast. Instead of holding fast to the Lord, they start holding fast to the nations and the gods of those nations. And so it may start off gradually. You know, they just start doing business with these other nations. They start engaging them more, start becoming friends with them. Their sons start eyeing those Gentile women and say, hey, they're pretty. I think I'll start courting them and marry them. And then these foreign wives start turning your heart away from the Lord. Even the New Testament says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers because of the danger. Because of the danger. And so we need to be careful that the same thing doesn't happen to us. Now, I will say this. We are not to be as extreme in separation as the Israelites were commanded. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We should be stronger. And so I think it's perfectly good for us to associate with unbelievers at work, at school, in our neighborhood, in the community groups that we are a part of, to establish relationships and build witnessing relationships. But there's always a danger we're not careful, that if that intimacy becomes too close and too strong, they may start influencing us more than we influence them. And so he warns them about this problem. And he says the answer is to know when to draw the line of separation. And I'll tell you where that line is. And when they start encouraging you to join them in their sinful practices, you must separate yourself from them. When they try to encourage you to embrace their unbiblical beliefs, it's time to pull back and separate yourself from them. And especially when they invite you to join them in a religious service or practice which is unbiblical and contrary to Scripture, you are to have nothing to do with that. You know, the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians about idolatry, and he quoted the Old Testament saying, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Separation still needs to be practiced even by New Testament believers as well. I know the courage, the pressure to conform can be strong, but we need to have the courage to pull back and separate ourselves from the beliefs and the practices of unbelievers. I challenge the church not to become like the world in its practices, in its beliefs. Don't try to put a Christian face on worldly culture. Draw your beliefs and practices from the Word of God. And he warns them if they do not remain separate, verse 13, again, they'll lose their land. They'll lose their land. He warns them that these unbelievers can become like snares and like traps and can lead to their undoing. And so what are you going to do? Listen, the influence of the world comes right into our television set. It comes right into our computer screens. It now comes into that thing we call a smartphone, which has a lot of dumb content on it. Do you know when to turn it off? Do you know when to change that channel? Do you know when to say, "I'm not going to see that movie"? Do you know when to say, "I'm sorry, I can't join you in doing that"? Christians must be strong enough to know when to be separate from unbelievers. Or else, notice what can happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Someone has said that when the church marries the spirit of the age, it becomes a widow in the next generation. He warns them what can happen due to the influence of unbelievers. Will they heed the warning? Well, sadly, they did not. Read the book of Judges, chapter 2. It only took one generation before they allowed the surrounding nations to lead them astray from their faithfulness and love to the Lord. The question is, will you heed the warning? In 2009, just south of Fredericksburg, there was a little league baseball game. Strong thunderstorms approached, and so the umpires called the game, suspended the game, and said, "Everyone take cover." Two boys on the team decided they would stay on the field and toss the ball back and forth. The storm seemed far off. And even under the watchful eye of their parents, they kept throwing the ball back and forth. And then out of the blue, lightning struck one of those boys, and he died almost instantly. And the other boy was seriously injured. They failed to heed the warning. In my 40 plus years of ministry, it's been a joy to see people saved and to faithfully follow the Lord. But it's also been a sadness to see people who seem so in love with the Lord turn back and quit following the Lord. It has happened all too often. Don't let it happen to you. So how can you stay true to the Lord? Remember the goodness of God. Oh, He's been so good to us. Claim the promises of God. Don't live on past victories. Claim the promises for new victories. Live by God's Word faithfully. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay true to God's Word. Keep loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And practice biblical separation. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You for these words of Joshua that ring true still today. And I pray, Lord, that each of us as individuals and each and this church in particular would always remember this exhortation and stay true to the Lord and to claim new victories. Lord, I pray for this church that You have wonderful things in store for this church. That souls will be saved, that Christians will be discipled in their faith, that this church will be a strong light in the community. Lord, may it never be that the day comes when You remove this light. Lord, help this light of the gospel and the love of the saints for others, including people in the community, burn brightly in the years ahead till Jesus comes. I pray in His name. Amen.